That should be the prayer on all of our lips today. We want to touch on that just a little bit in the message this morning. Shall we turn to the third chapter of Ephesians? Ephesians 3. We will begin with verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now, revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. We would continue these messages on spiritual mysteries today. And our subject this morning is the mystery of the church. Paul uses that term in verse 10, literally, that to the intent now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. The word is only used once, but there are a number of references to this same glorious truth. As we find here in verse 2, Paul says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. He's talking about the dispensation of the grace age or the church age. God made it very clear that he was doing something new. The disciples and early apostles didn't really understand that, but God was changing things, as we're going to see here presently. And so an entire dispensation has been given over unto promoting and to enlarging on the glorious attributes of divine grace. Verse 3, Paul says, how that by revelation he made known unto me. It is important to understand that this was a revelation to Paul. We'll find a little bit later it was hidden all along in the scripture, but no one understood it until God chose to reveal it to the Apostle Paul. And so he did not confer after he testifies after his conversion. He didn't confer with those apostles that were in Jerusalem before him, but God took him into the wilderness of Arabia. And there is where God revealed this glorious truth unto him. And so by revelation, God made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words. And that is a reference, if you'll turn briefly back to chapter 1 and verse 9, we read these words, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. We spoke on that in an earlier message, but Paul enlarges on that mystery. As he says here, it was according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And here it is, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. This is just a short way of saying that God has gathered both Jew and Gentile into one body, as we're going to find here presently. And so this is the mystery that Paul said he wrote about in a few words. Continuing here in chapter 3 and verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge. Now notice that the Apostle Paul is not trying to exalt himself. He's not trying to tell people how much he knows, and you need to know how much I know. He means that he wants us to have the knowledge that God gave to him. This is the essence of our lives today, is that God never did give us something just to hold on to it and hoard it as though we were the only ones it was meant for. We are to absorb it, to take it to ourselves, as the Apostle Paul did, and then pass it on to others. Be a blessing to others, says the Apostle Paul here. And so that you may understand my knowledge, notice this, in the mystery of Christ. It's the same mystery. The mystery of the church, the mystery of Christ is exactly the same, simply because that everything centers around him. We saw this in the very beginning of these messages, that these mysteries center around Christ. He's the focus of them. And Paul tells us the same thing here, this mystery of Christ. And then we come to verse 5. This is a very important point, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This message of the church age was hidden all along. This message centered around Christ himself was hidden all along in the Old Testament. One evidence of that would be in Daniel's prophecy and Daniel's gospel. Daniel foretold of 70 weeks pronounced upon thy people, that is the Jews. The very last point of that blessing, of those 70 weeks, is the anointing of the Most Holy. We know now the anointing of the Most Holy told of the power of the Holy Ghost coming down on the day of Pentecost and baptizing the church into one body. I know there are many in our land across the plain, so to speak, and across the world, many books written on it, that Daniel 9:27 is the 70th week. That cannot be. Read through what those 70 weeks included. They were all of blessing. There's not a tinge of judgment upon the Jews that is in those 70 weeks. The 70th week, beloved, took place immediately after the resurrection of Christ, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, and we read of those wonderful things that happened there in the first few chapters of Acts. It is a foretaste of many millennial blessings. Lasted 70 years. It's the 70th week of blessing which God poured out. And Daniel prophesied that long ago, but indeed, again, it was hidden. Joel is another who prophesied of this glorious day. Peter brought that to light on the day of Pentecost when he stood up boldly and said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." God poured out the Holy Spirit. He anointed the Most Holy that day. And indeed, the church was baptized into one body. And that becomes the primary focus of this message, because it tells us on that day, God joined together both Jew and Gentile. Notice verse 6 of our text here. That the Gentiles. This is the mystery that Paul is talking about in verse 4. Understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. It was hidden, as we see in verse 5, but you will notice what it is. This gives us some specifics of the mystery that Paul is talking about. It is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. We're going to notice four glorious points about this mystery that Paul is talking about here. And the first one is the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. It means that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with the Jews. It is so important to understand that God's purpose here is to create one body, and that one body, of course, is Christ, as we're going to see. And indeed, God is going to join both Jew and Gentile together in one. These fellow heirs. Again, the mystery. The Jews could not understand it. At that time, the hierarchy didn't understand it when Jesus came into the world. But let us notice these points concerning and defining this mystery. First, the fellow heirs. And that is a reference to the Abrahamic covenant. Not turn there, but Genesis 22:17 gives this glorious summation of the blessing provided by the Abrahamic covenant. God says that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed. We read in other places, especially there in Galatians, Paul makes a great point of it, saying it is seed. Not seeds as of many, but seed as of one. The fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant is in Christ. And so he says here, I'm going to multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven. That is a reference to Abraham's heavenly seed, which is the church, of which we are a part today. Blessing has been pronounced upon us because of this glorious covenant. We are fellow heirs with the Jews because of this glorious covenant. And then the next one. And as the sand which is upon the seashore. That is a reference to the nation of Israel. There are some who try to mix these two, and you cannot do it. The heavenly seed of Abraham is the church. The earthly seed of Abraham is the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel has not come into the blessing that God intends for her at all. The latter part of that verse there in Genesis says this, "Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." This is a prophecy of the time when Israel as a nation is going to be the head and not the tail of the nations. But keep in mind, the seed of Abraham on the earth is Israel, and that will be the blessing on the earth. We are much concerned with the stars of heaven. We are concerned with the church. And make no mistake, the church includes both Jew and Gentile. You may have heard the statement talking about a Gentile bride. There's no such thing. The church is made up of Jews and Gentiles. The Apostle Paul was a Jew, and I'll guarantee you he will be a part of the bride of Christ. So there's no such thing as a Gentile bride. We are talking about the body of Christ, which includes both Jew and Gentile. They were baptized into one body on the day of Pentecost. There are so many of the Jews, such as the Hebrews, others. When the Gentiles got saved, they tried to put them under the law. This is what happened in the book of Galatians. But Paul says in Galatians 3:17, "This I say, that the covenant," he's talking about the Abrahamic covenant. This is one where we are all fellow heirs. "This covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ." And again, we find the secret in Christ. "The law, which was 430 years after." The law was given 430 years after God gave this covenant to Abraham. And Paul is telling us emphatically, when the law came along, it did not disannul. It cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Our blessing, even though there are many who try to put the Gentiles under law today, God never did. God gave us the promise. The promise of the Abrahamic covenant applies to the church, the stars of heaven. And so the law cannot disannul that. Paul goes to great lengths there in the letter to the Galatians, telling them how they cannot be turned away from the marvels and the glories of divine grace to go back under the bondage of the law. And so we are fellow heirs with the Jews of this Abrahamic covenant. Then the second point, of the same body. Again, that is the body of Christ. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ is composed both of Jew and Gentile. These stars of heaven include Jews and Gentiles. Then we continue here in this same verse, 6, as being partakers of his promise. It is very important for us to grasp that word partakers, simply because it means a co-participant. It means an associate. God provided all of these blessings in the Abrahamic covenant for the church. "For these stars of heaven, I'm going to bless you, multiply you." The problem is that all do not partake. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about those who have accepted Christ. They really do not become a co-participant. They don't become an associate. Oh, yes, those wonderful blessings are there, but they make no effort to lay hold of them and to become a participant in them. I want to notice Paul's admonition both to the Jews and the Gentiles. To the Jews, he says this in Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear, that is a reverential fear, a submissive fear of God. Let us fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. And then he makes this statement, lest any of you should seem to become short of it. Paul is telling these Hebrews, I, as a Jew, have already laid hold of these promises. Don't you hold back. Don't keep from laying hold of these things. Lest any of you should seem to come short of laying hold of it. It's there. And Paul goes into great detail there throughout that book of Hebrews, trying to turn them from the types and shadows to the blessings which are in Christ Jesus. And so he exhorts them, don't let this opportunity pass you by. Then to the Galatians, he said this in Galatians 3:29. And if you, Gentiles, talking about these Galatian Gentiles, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and you are heirs according to the promise. It is an absolute fact. Jew and Gentile of the church have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that brings us to the fourth point of this mystery, and that is that it is in Christ. This is what we must realize, what all men must realize. We don't stand before God on our own merit. We don't stand before God saying that he has to bless us because of our goodness, because of our works, because of the wonderful accomplishments we have made, or for the things that we've refused to participate in. There is only one reason that we are blessed, and that is because we are in Christ. We are blessed because of him. And we can have as much of that blessing as we want, as we literally take our place in Christ Jesus. It must not be claimed on our own merit of anything that we have or have not done, but rather because we are in Christ. This is what we read more than once. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Christ is why we have the blessing that we do. Then as we notice here in the latter part of verse 6, we are partakers of the promise in Christ. This is why Paul emphasizes by the gospel. This is why he wanted us to know the same knowledge that he had. It is all in the gospel. Paul says in another place, it is my gospel. It's because that he made it his own, but it's also because God gave this message to him exclusively. And so we must understand that the way to laying hold, the way to getting these glorious blessings, the way to come in to this heirship in a practical way is by believing and laying hold that wonderful message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I want to briefly notice verse 8, because Paul says here, unto me who am less than all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles, notice this, the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is also a part of the mystery he's done. The unsearchable riches. There is no way you can exhaust these riches. And we could spend and must spend the rest of our lives searching out these things and laying hold of them for our own. Then we come to verse 9. This is called the fellowship of the mystery. And to make all men see, Paul felt that this was his obligation. This was his burden. And if you read through the Acts and if you read through Paul's epistles, he put every fiber in his being into this matter of making known this message to as many as would possibly listen to it. And so it was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now he tells us again, he repeats the same thing. It had been hid in God. We know it was hidden in the Old Testament, but now it has been brought to light, and therefore there's no excuse that men should have not to lay hold of it. And so we're speaking here of the fellowship of the mystery. We already noted that provision for blessing has been made available for all members of the church, both Jew and Gentile. But all are not really partakers, as we saw there in verse 6. All do not enter into the fellowship of the mystery. The word fellowship means partnership. It means communion. It means participation. We have been studying Peter over the last few weeks and couple of months. Peter is a man who really did not understand, nor did he participate in the fellowship of the early church. This is what Paul is talking about. This is what this message is about. The mystery of the church to include both Jew and Gentile. We'll not turn there, but I'm sure you remember the story from Acts 11. That's where Peter, and at this time, he is the leader of the apostles. God began that process on the day of Pentecost when he stood up and told them exactly what was happening, and his ministry went on from there, and he had a very prosperous and profitable one. Then we come to the 11th chapter of Acts. And Peter is waiting for them to get the food on the table, so to speak, or get it prepared. In the meanwhile, it seems like that he was a man that really believed in occupying his time. So he went up on top of the roof in order to pray. And while he was praying, God let down a sheet. That is, he saw the vision of a sheet being let down with 4-footed beast and creeping things and wild beast, fowls, all of these unclean under Jewish law. And God said to Peter, slay and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord. Nothing like common or unclean has ever come into my lips. And then it was God's voice who cried out to him, what God has cleansed, don't you call common. Peter didn't understand that until it was almost immediately that the house of Cornelius, a Gentile family, called him, wanted him to come down to the house of Cornelius. And he did. And he preached, and then he understood what God was saying. These Gentiles that you've been calling common and unclean are not so. You are to accept them into fellowship. They are a part of the body just as much as you are. And God proved that before all of them in living color, because all of those in the house of Cornelius began to speak with tongues as they did on the day of Pentecost. This was God's proof that the Gentiles had been brought into the church, into the body of Christ. And Peter had no choice but to accept it and to understand it. However, there was a great blunder that Peter made later. because he literally refused to fellowship or to eat with the Gentiles when the Jews came down from Jerusalem. And Paul, as we read there in Galatians, withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Because he was interfering with the fellowship of the mystery, the fellowship of the gospel between Jew and Gentile. And others were very much affected by that. And they left with Peter. He did great damage to the gospel by doing what he did. And so it is so imperative that men have this, recognize this fellowship of the mystery coming together, Jew and Gentile. Jesus likewise spoke of this same thing by a parable from Luke 14. You'll find it beginning in the 23rd verse, or in the 14th chapter. 23rd verse says this. This is after those who were bidden to a supper refused to come. It's typical of Israel as a nation. They were the first ones invited, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This is God's order. And so Jesus was demonstrating to them how that the offer of this fellowship, the offer of coming to this supper, to this feast, was given unto the Jews. But they refused it. Then we read this. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. That's the nation of Israel, which has been set aside during this age until they will accept Christ as a nation, as the Messiah, during the middle of the tribulation period. The parable simply teaches this. The Jews as a nation refused to accept the gospel. They refused to accept this glorious mystery. And so the Gentiles were brought in that the house and that the supper might be filled. Paul tells us that in Romans 11. Romans 11, 15 says it this way. If the casting away of them be reconciling of the world, that would be the Gentile world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Says also in Romans 11, 30. As you Gentiles in time past have not believed, yet have now obtained mercy through their, that is the Jews, unbelief. The fact of the matter is this. Every Gentile owes, has a debt to the Jews. It's because of the rejection of the Jews that we have the gospel that we do. And so we are indebted. And that's why we love the Jews. We love that nation, even in their unbelief. We love that nation because they're God's chosen people, and that nation will be saved, as the scripture said. But right now, you and I can accept these people into one body and join in fellowship with them. We love to have those Messianic Jews in our midst today, fellowshipping around the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Then one more point on this fellowship before we go on. Paul spoke of the unsearchable riches. He spoke of fellowship. He spoke of partaking of the promises. We must receive that on a personal level. I am the only one that can participate in the gospel myself. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. We must make the decision to make every effort to reach out for this fellowship in the mystery. It is for our own good and our own edification. This brings us finally to verse 10. To the intent This gives us God's overall purpose for this mystery of the church. What is it? What did God intend all along? Joining Jew and Gentile into this one body. But notice what he really intended. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places or in the heavenlies might be known, this says by, the better rendering of this word is through, might be known through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. We know this is going to be fulfilled in the when it's all said and done in the millennium and then on out into eternity. But I want to concentrate a little bit on what Paul says here in verse 10, to the intent that now. The essence of this verse is this. God is using his people, his saints, these who are a part of this mystery of the church, God is using them to send a message to Satan himself. Now, that is true of the whole church or the church as a whole. But I want to also emphasize it is true of us as an individual. Job is the pattern. God used Job to send a message directly to Satan. Satan came to God and wanted to test someone and suggested Job. Then Satan said to God, if you will touch his body, he'll curse you to your face. And God said, no, he won't, and I'll prove it to you. You can have his body, but you can't take his life. And God was rewarded with the fact that never did Job curse him to his face. Never. God is still using his people to send this same message unto Satan. Satan has always tried. From the time he fell, he has always tried to destroy God's masterpiece and God's work. He's still doing it today. Don't think he's gone on a vacation because he hasn't. Satan is there testing and doing everything he can to destroy God's work in his people. But we read from this verse to the intent as we read that now under the principalities and powers and in heavenly places might be known through the church the manifold wisdom of God. It's the wisdom that God is putting on display in my life. This is the reason for the test. This is the reason for the trials. This is the reason for the things that we are going through today. God is proving a point to Satan, and he's using us to do it. Well, just as it was in the case of Job, God has his reward for us participating in this fellowship, for participating in this mystery, because God will reward us with untold glory for abiding in this place while he worked his wisdom, Christ, in our lives. And so today, it is so important that you and I enter in as individuals. Yes, we are in full fellowship. We value fellowship, Jew and Gentile, but in full fellowship of the mystery, searching out, partaking of these unsearchable riches of his promise in Christ Jesus. It is so important we make a conscious decision to do that and to pursue this wonderful fellowship of the mystery that we find demonstrated by the church, this mystery which is in Christ Jesus.